Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Hello, everyone out there in Radio Land.
We want to praise and thank God for all of you. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon and for whatever part of the next 2 hours you can spend with us. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Just a couple of announcements here before we get going. First of all, less than a month away now is our annual golf outing out at Old York Road Country Club. We're going to be playing golf on Monday, October the 10th. And it's one of two annual fundraisers, the golf outing and the Wake Up America dinner, to help us raise much-needed monies in order to keep radio shows like this one on the air. We're excited about this year's event, and we look forward to having another wonderful outing and sharing in some great golf moments. Please email praise at inhissign.com. That's praise at inhissign.com to reserve your spot in the golf tournament. If you're unable to golf, please consider sponsoring a priest or donating a prize for the silent auction. For additional information, as well as sponsorship opportunities, please visit our website at inhissign.com. That's inhissign.com. Or call us at 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. And thank you for your continued support of In His Sign Catholic Radio. If you go out to our website, scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you'll be able to download the brochure. It's got all the information you need in order to register. It's always a great day. Look forward to being out there again this year myself, and hope to see you there as well. Also, our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia, located at 29th and Dickinson Street, is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 o'clock till 5:30. You can stop either day. Get in touch with Father or I ahead of time, and if we're going to be around, we can be sure to meet you over, give you a little tour, and you can contact us through the Our House Ministries website. Again, a lot of times, Father will mention people ask what they can do to support the ministry, and this is one area where we could use some help. It's just like or similar to adoration in that we need folks to be in the church throughout the day. We don't like to leave the church open with nobody there. So if you have an hour or two that you can spare on a Tuesday or Thursday and want to come down and sit in the Cathedral of South Philadelphia, as we call it, and spend some time with Matt Talbot, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, Ken. Also, we're building our mission work, and I was thinking about the guys that worked hard all day. I told them I'd give them a shout-out. I think they may be listening. But Maximum Build, those guys are good demolishers. They really tore down the fences and the cinder blocks. We filled up the dumpster. But they really worked hard all day, and I just wanted to thank those guys. Max Belfis, whose company it is, Warren, Gregory, Richie, and their company is Maximum Build. But God bless them. Guys, if you're listening, your reward in heaven will be great.
All right. And we look forward to having a new deck out there, and the house is connected. And thanks. I know that we have some of the similar benefactors, those that support Kathleen and our mission. So thank you very much for all that you do for us as well. All right, let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, Matt being one of the patrons of the show. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to Thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to Thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to Thee and for all those who do not have recourse to Thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to You.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
St. John Chrysostom.
Pray for us.
St. John of God and St. Camillus de Lellis.
Pray for us.
St. Francis and St. Clair.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance and need to call toll-free, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls when we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way in the past few weeks and you want to witness to our listeners, we would love to hear from you. Again, that'll be right after the break. We'll give out the numbers later on in the show as well before we go to the break. All right, we are in the 24th week in Ordinary Time. And full slate of saints and feasts this week. On Sunday the 11th, St. Cyprian. On Monday the 12th, the Most Holy Name of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Yesterday the 13th was St. John Chrysostom. Today we celebrate the Exaltation of the Cross. On Thursday the 15th, Our Lady of Sorrows. On Friday the 16th, St. Cornelius. Saturday the 10th, Robert Bellarmine. And we wanted to talk today about the Exaltation of the Cross. And so, back in the 7th century, or even earlier than that, the 4th century, St. Helena, who happened to be the mother of the Roman Emperor Constantine, she went off to Jerusalem looking for the holy places of Christ's life. And she leveled the 2nd century temple of Aphrodite, which they thought was built over the Savior's tomb, and then built the Basilica of the Holy Sepulchre on that spot. And when they were doing the excavation, workers there found three crosses, and there's a legend that the one on which Jesus died was identified when it was touched by a dying woman who was healed. So the cross immediately became an object of veneration in Jerusalem on Good Fridays toward the end of the 4th century. The wood was taken out of its silver container, and they put it on a table along with the inscription the Pilate ordered placed above Jesus' head. And then people would pass through, and they would bow down, touch the cross and the inscription with their foreheads first, and then with their eyes. And after kissing the cross, they would move on. Until now, to this day, even the Eastern churches, Catholic and Orthodox alike, still celebrate the Exaltation of the Holy Cross on the September anniversary of the Basilica's dedication. And the feast came into the Western calendar, our calendar, in the 7th century after Emperor Heraclius recovered the cross from the Persians, who carried it off in 614, 15 years earlier. And according to that story, the emperor wanted to carry the cross back to Jerusalem himself, but wasn't able to until he took off his imperial garb and became a barefoot pilgrim. So as long as he had his garb on, he couldn't move towards Jerusalem. But once he made himself into a barefoot pilgrim, off he went to return the cross. And today, as you know, there's enough splinters of the cross to probably make thousands of crosses.
A couple bridges.
Yeah, everybody seems to have one. But, you know, the Exaltation of the Cross is, you know, reading about it, Father, reminds me of, you know, our Good Friday, where we reverence the cross during the Good Friday Passion on Friday afternoon. And it's always interesting to watch how people approach especially when, well, of course, when COVID first hit, you couldn't go anywhere near it. We weren't allowed in our churches. But even after it, the lengths they would go to try to keep us from passing any disease, I guess, from kissing the cross. So they asked us not to. But anyway, it was always intriguing to me, especially when I was younger and older boy, to see the reverence that people would have for the cross. So I have one more story about it, but I'll let you add on and bring it up in a bit.
Oh, you want me to add on now?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Okay. You know, when we talk about the cross, you might not have a relic of the Holy Cross, but you know, we all have access to His most holy, the crucified one, right there in that little white host. And you look at the lives of the saints, Ken, they all speak about the cross. Our cross is united to His cross. And it's in that cross that we really come close to our Lord. And there's always a power in the cross and always a grace behind the cross, because we unite ourselves with the crucified one. And you look at the saints, they all speak about the cross in so many beautiful ways. And they all say 5 minutes to meditate on the passion of Jesus on His cross is worth more than all of our devotion. You have Bernard talking about the cross. St. Mary of the Cross, which is St. John Jagan. You know, they all speak about the cross. But Augustine speaks about the cross in a beautiful way. And there was an officer reading that I always kind of am pulled back to when he speaks about the cross of Jesus. He says that the cross exemplifies every virtue. And he goes on, why did the Son of God have to suffer for us? There was a great need, and it can be considered in a twofold way. In the first place, as a remedy for sin, and secondly, as an example of how to act. And I added a third one, Ken, a way to show us how much He loves us. I always like that. How much do you love me, Jesus? Someone asked, and He stretched out His arms on the cross, and He died. He said this much. It's a remedy, but it exemplifies every virtue. And this is what he says. You're looking for virtues. You know, look at the crucified one. If you seek the example of love, greater love than this no man has, to lay down his life for his friends, such a man was Christ on the cross. And if he gave his life for us, then it should not be difficult to bear whatever hardships arise for his sake, to embrace our crosses with his. But if you're looking for patience, you will find no better example than the cross. Great patience occurred in two ways with Jesus hanging on that cross. Either one patiently suffers much, or one, when one suffers things which one is able to avoid, and yet he does not avoid. There's the patience. And I think of that word patient, Ken. There's a difference between a meek person and a patient person. A meek person, it seems nothing bothers him. He's always a calm, you know, just calmness all the way through, meekness. But a patient person, it comes from the Latin word, patiar, which means to suffer with, to suffer for. And a patient person is suffering instead of lashing out at somebody. Like you get caught in traffic, somebody cuts you out. It's patience to pray for the person. But to me, it's more virtuous to be patient than to be meek. But you look at the cross, look at all the patience he had and how much he suffered. You're looking for humility? I mean, this is God hanging on the cross. Look upon the crucified one, for God wished to be judged by Pontius Pilate and to die. And if you seek an example of obedience, well, follow him who became obedient to the Father, even until death. Obedience, look at that. Thy will be done, Father. And if you seek an example of despising earthly things, follow him who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, in whom are hidden all the treasures in wisdom and knowledge. Upon the cross, he was stripped, mocked, sped upon, struck, crowned with thorns, and given only the vinegar and gall to drink. So do not be attached, therefore, the clothing and riches, because they divided my garments among them. So whatever we're looking for, all the virtues are exemplified right there. And we draw that power and that strength from the crucified one. That's where he broke the devil's back. I mean, there it is. There's the source and summit of all the graces and all the virtues. And it's in that white host at the Mass, as we elevate that host, the crucified one, right to the Father. He dies our death, and he opens up the gates of heaven, and we're showered with blessings upon blessings upon blessings. So the saints, they all had it right. They didn't, like Kathleen would say, don't drag your cross, pick it up, shoulder it, and carry it. Because when you do that, it's no longer like a cross we're embracing, but the crucified one who gives us the strength that's not our own and the power of the cross to conquer all our enemies, even death itself, Ken.
Amen. You know, I had an experience about a month ago. We were on retreat out at Malvern. And because of the size of the retreats, a lot of times now the talks are given in Upper McShane there. And there's a huge crucifix above the altar there. And after one of the talks on the retreat, a friend of mine who happens to not be Catholic, Protestant, very active in his church, you know, came up to me and he says, "What is it with you Catholics that you always have the body of Jesus on your crosses? Don't you know that he's rose from the dead?" And my response was, well, if he was never on the cross, you would have never had the resurrection, for one thing. But, you know, and it got me thinking, because it, you know, sometimes I've been to a couple of non-Catholic churches, Protestant churches, for funerals and those types of things, and they're kind of sanitized. And, you know, it did get me thinking about, you know, why do we? And really, when when I look at the cross and I see the suffering that went on, it's really the only thing that can explain suffering. You know, if Christ hadn't suffered and died for us, his suffering gives meaning to all of our sufferings. And otherwise, you know, you question God all the time. Why do I have to suffer? What's the suffering all about? People even use it as an excuse to say that there is no God. What kind of God would allow this kind of suffering? Even had it, you know, with family members, you know, when other family members were dying, you know, why do they have to suffer like this? We don't let animals suffer. Why do we let humans suffer? Those types of things. And because of the cross, we have redemptive suffering, right? We, you know, every suffering now has meaning. You know, some people who suffer a lot may get tired of hearing "offer it up" or what have you, because they're tired of suffering themselves, and I get that. But at the same time, we do know from saints and prophets, seers, and what have you, that all this suffering has can have meaning. We can apply it. We can offer it up for the souls in purgatory. We can offer it up for our own souls and our own family members and what have you. So I think it's only because of the cross that suffering has real meaning. You know, it's not fleeting. It's it has solid, you know, roots in God. And we'll probably only find out later why God allows as much suffering as he does. You know, we look around today and, you know, this, you see the number of people that are suffering, whether it's because of war or famine or weather or whatever it might be, that you know, that causes people to struggle. But it's because of that we can turn around and go to the suffering Jesus. He understands every last bit of our suffering. Now, I don't think anybody suffered more than he did. And to be able to turn to him and have a God that took on flesh and understands what it means to truly suffer, and know that, you know, he's only allowing it to happen for a greater purpose. And we may not find out what that purpose is while we're still alive. He'll probably reveal it to us, reveal it to us when we meet him face to face. But in the meantime, you know, everything that, you know, goes on in my life, certainly I can look to him and say that I haven't suffered anywhere near what he suffered, and at the same time, anything that I did suffer, I can do one of two things. I can either, you know, accept it and try to grow from it, or, you know, I guess turn around and curse God and wonder why he's allowing this to happen. Fortunately, I think I do the former most of the time now. Because, like I said, anything that I suffered today pales in comparison to not only what he suffered, but to a lot of suffering that other people I know, even in my own family, the suffering that they experience day to day. So that's why, at least that's my interpretation of why we all of our churches are adorned with crucifixes, with the corpus still on the cross, right?
Yeah. You know, the crucifixion, as St. Augustine would say, showed us his humanity. The resurrection shows us his divinity, you know, and we're in the humanity. We all suffer. And like you say, in school, grade school, it was like, offer it up. And today you just hear, suck it in, deal with it. No, it has meaning to offer it up, as you were saying. It purifies us. It's purgative. And behind every cross, Ken, there's a greater grace. We go to the height of grace. So behind the cross, there's an illumination. That's the height of grace. But even more than that, there's a union, a unitive dimension where we're united to the crucified one, and then there's no more cross. We cross over, and we're with the Father. You know, you look at the martyrs, look at the crosses they bore. You know, I mean, they were flayed alive. They were beheaded. Remember St. Lawrence, turn me over, I'm done on this side. It was like they were already in the illuminative and unitive dimension, and they didn't even feel the pain or the suffering anymore. And so the crosses have meaning. It's redemptive. It redeems us. It's like a purgatory. It cleanses us from all this junk that's in us, especially our pride. The story that I often think about was my father. When I would get splinters from going into the empty houses and the pus coming out, and my father would sit me down at the table, and he'd turn on the gas range and get a sewing needle and put it over the gas range. I was scared to death. He put a towel. He said, bite on it. And then he'd start digging to get that splinter out. And he saw that I was hurting, and I can see that he was hurting. But he said, Dougie, this splinter got to come out. Take a rest. Bite on the towel. I got to dig some more. And he would dig some more. And he would say, after this, you're getting ice cream. And that kept me going. Okay, Dad, get it out. And like we have these seven splinters in us that are deep, and only God can get them out. Just like a doctor, you know, we got to be put to sleep, you know, anesthesia, and the doctor digs for this tumor because we can't get it. And it's like we can do so much with grace, but then God got to do the rest. And he'll dig out those seven splinters. Pride, right? God, the paggles, right? Pride, anger, gluttony, greed, envy, lust, sloth. But they got to come out. And it's the cross that really would get them out. And there's a power in the cross. St. Elizabeth said, Ann Seton said, if we just knew the gift of the cross, we would run for them, embrace them, not away from them. St. Jane de Chantel, she would talk about her crosses, you know, cut, burn, destroy everything in me, God, that opposes your most holy will. But there's the power of the cross that destroys all these capital sins in us, you know, and humbles us. It humbles us, and then we're exalted with God. I think about the power of St. Anthony's Brief, Ken. There's an extraordinary story about St. Anthony's Brief. It's a devotion that began in the 13th century. It seemed like a woman who was afflicted. She was determined to put an end to her life by drowning. And while on her way to carry out the sinful purpose, she passed the Franciscan church. It happened to be the feast of St. Anthony. She entered the church, and while in prayer, she seemed to see St. Anthony standing near her, holding in his hand a piece of parchment. He gave her this parchment, telling her to arise and keep it, and she would be cured. And when the vision passed, she found the parchment, the brief, in her hand, and looking at it, or these words in Latin, but here's the English words. Behold the cross of the Lord. Fly, all hostile powers. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, Root of David, has conquered. Alleluia, alleluia. So it's in that cross, you know, that parchment. Behold that cross. Our cross is with his. Fly, all hostile powers. Get the Satan out of the way. Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, Jesus Christ crucified and risen, has conquered. Alleluia, alleluia. Well, this went on and on. The woman returned home. She was cured of her affliction, and she was no longer possessed by any demon. But the king of the country heard about it, and he wanted this parchment. So she parted with it, and the affliction returned. And the woman's husband interceded to get it back, and it got back again. And then it was like captains on the ship and all. They would take this parchment, and when they were in storms, they would throw it overboard, and that power of the cross would calm the waters. But yeah, St. Anthony's Brief, I'll say it again, here it is. Behold the cross of the Lord, fly all hostile powers. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, Root of David, has conquered. Alleluia, alleluia. The power of the cross, the triumph of the cross, the exaltation of the cross.
Amen. Pretty good, Father. And, you know, it just reminds me, I got a text probably a half hour before we went on the show, and I'm hoping the person that sent it to me, I told him to call in with the Otter God. It's pretty amazing, dealing directly with the cross. And I was just thinking about all the things that we do in our churches that revolve around the cross. Most masses on Sunday, you know, you'll have the procession led by an altar server with the cross. The Good Friday celebrations, the number of crosses that we'll have throughout our church. I think of all of our homes that have crosses in them. And I remember years ago that even the Philadelphia Mint put out these beautiful crosses, and I picked up a couple of them. And when I was asked to be confirmation sponsor, I would give them out. And so, in theory, my life, especially now working full time in the ministry and trying to make daily mass, the cross is always before me. And like I was saying earlier, to look at the cross and realize what God has done for each and every one of us. You say it often, God would have done it if you were the only person ever created. He would have done it just for you. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely personal. And that one experience that I had, we were driving back from that Calyx retreat at Mount St. Mary's, and we were in the car for a couple hours coming home, and I made we had a little ways to go yet, and so actually went to confession while I was driving, and for penance, you told me to pull down the cross. And it's one of the few times I've heard Christ actually talk directly to me. And, and I heard the words, "Ken, I did this for you." Mm. That's how personal it gets. And since that time, there's been many times where I've taken the crucifix down off the wall and held it in my hands and, felt the body of Jesus. And there's just something to it when you get that personal touch that that God had done that for you. And I know we normally take we normally do the Otter God after the break, and we've got a couple of minutes before we go there. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Sean on. Hello, Sean.
Hello there, guys.
How are you, brother?
Hi, Sean.
Good. How are you?
All right.
Hey, Ken.
So
what an amazing Otter God moment today.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
I have had no idea what you guys were going to be talking about today, obviously. A friend of mine stopped by today. She had sold her house, and she had to purge a lot of the stuff she had in her house. And for some reason, she had a tremendous amount of crucifixes in her house, and so she brings them to me. She said, "I figured you might be able to find homes for these." So I laid them all out on a table, and I took pictures of them, and I was, I sent a picture of it to Ken and a few other people. And then Ken texts me, after I sent it to him, he texts me back and says, "What an Otter God moment is this? You're talking about what your topic is today." And there I sent him, six or seven crucifixes laid out on my conference room table. Is that amazing?
Unreal. So Father, I was sitting here and my phone buzzed, and I, every once in a while, I get text messages from our friends that listen, and sure enough, it was this one from Sean, totally unrelated to the show, and the picture of these crucifixes, and just like he said, "Hey, can you think you can find a home for these?" And
good, Sean. We're going to have to call Sean. We'll have to call you Sean of the Cross.
There you go.
I don't want that title. There's a lot of pressure goes with that one. I don't think I could handle that. I'm not sure I'm up to that challenge. Although you would probably disagree, right?
Yeah. No, I said it's a gift. The cross is a gift.
Listening to you guys talking earlier before I called, and I was going back to our conversation last night where someone shared about, you know, feeling like, God had kind of abandoned them. And obviously, you know, she realized that wasn't true by the end of her conversation. But, you know, I shared too that I felt that many times, even, you know, recently, not like yesterday or anything like that, but I've been there. I've been there. So, I mean, I know I'm capable of falling into that, to the devil's trap when it comes to that, you know, that kind of poor me stuff. And hearing what you were talking about earlier, Ken, regarding suffering and how Christ suffered on the cross for us just makes it such a simple explanation of all that for me. It helps me understand that. And it's really great. Really great. I'm glad I sent you that text.
Yeah.
I'm glad I jumped on here.
Honor God, brother.
I took a break from work. I went out back and I said, let me just sit down and kind of relax and listen to you guys. What a treat.
Very good.
What a treat.
Hey, Sean, before you go, I was talking to the woman last night. I don't see if we mind mentioning her name, Kelly. And we're very much in the contemplative mode in our Kayla's contemplative prayer meeting. And as we get deeper to God, it's like a dark night that starts. And John of the Cross, he speaks about the three signs. And just like what you were saying, I feel abandoned by God. There's no consolations between heaven and earth. I feel like God has abandoned me, like I'm a big, fat sinner. And then I can't meditate. No, it's no more meditation. My mind is shutting down. But then I have this habitual turning towards God that I really want God. He says, when you see these three things happening, that we're really moving now in a new dimension, in a contemplative, and we're coming out of our sinful stage into a real graceful stage. But when that happens, we feel, oh, well, God left me and he doesn't love me. I feel like a big lump of sin. Self-knowledge, we call it, right? I'm looking at my sins, it's revealing the things I did, and they have to be purified. But yet, what happens, I can't take it anymore, so what do? I want to go back to the flesh pots, to the sinful pleasures. And if I just wait it out and keep going on, there's going to be a new dimension, an illumination, you know, a new advancement in the spiritual life. But we hit that wall and we go backwards. We're backsliders. But that's what I was saying to Kelly. And she's so deeply into this contemplative prayer time now that something is happening to her and all of us, that God is moving closer to us. So when the crosses get heavier, just know they are gifts, and he's humbling us, getting ready to exalt us and to bring us closer to himself. But thanks for sharing, Sean, of the cross.
You're welcome. You know, thanks for being there, guys.
Right.
I love listening to you. I really do. I love you guys. I'll see you soon.
All right, brother.
All right.
Thanks for the call. We have reached the bottom of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we got to leave the line. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Maria Richardson. I've been working in church ministry for many years, and I want to take this opportunity to thank God for Kathleen McCarthy. Kathleen is an amazing woman of God who has been blessed with many gifts and talents for his service. She is so connected to Jesus, and his Holy Spirit speaks through her in so many ways, through her words, her actions, her prayers, and her wisdom. Kathleen has been an inspiration and a mentor to me personally for so long, and it is a great joy to know that In His Sign Radio has allowed her to become a blessing to so many people. She is a gift that must be shared, and I, for one, am very grateful. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And once again, welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. We want to praise and thank God for all our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Just a quick update on what's happening with the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father and I get together with a group every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We meet in the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson for Mass at 6 o'clock. And then following Mass, we have our Calyx meeting. Starts at 7, usually wrap up a little around 8 o'clock or a little bit after. And this coming Tuesday is the third Tuesday. So on the third Tuesday of each month, rather than the Matt Talbot Chapel, we'll be over in St. Gabriel's Church, where we have a holy hour from 6 to 7. And then Mass at 7 o'clock during the holy hour. Father McKay and any other priests were able to round up to come down. We'll hear confessions. We have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, novena prayers to Matt Talbot. So, again, that's next Tuesday, September the 20th, the third Tuesday. We'll be over in the church. Get started at 6 and usually wrap up a little bit before 8 o'clock. We have a unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside. We meet there on the third Saturday of each month, so that will be this coming Saturday, the 17th. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass and then have a Calyx meeting afterwards. All are more than welcome. We have a unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown. They meet on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the parish center there. Their next meeting will be tomorrow night, September the 15th. Again, that's 7 o'clock in the parish center at Queen of the Universe in Levittown. We also have a unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield, which meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by our Calyx meeting. The meeting at the end of September will be on Saturday the 24th. And we have another new unit. They just met for the first time this past Saturday, and it's actually a resurrection of an old unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media. They meet on the second Saturday of the month and attend the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass and a Calyx meeting to follow. So they will meet again on the second Saturday in October. We'll also be announcing shortly yet another unit that's going to be meeting in Delaware County. As soon as we have all the details, we will let you know. And at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be joined by Father Slomir Skretka, and we're going to be talking about his book called Icon of Trust, Mary and the Gospels of Luke and John. It should be an interesting conversation. I talked to Father last week, and a huge devotion to the Blessed Mother, so we'll have plenty to talk about in the 5 o'clock hour. And back to the saints, or should I say back to the exaltation of the cross, and we do have a caller on the line. We're going to go to Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken. Hello, Father. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, Mike.
Thanks for reminding me, Patrick. And but anyway, we're talking about the cross, and that cross in the sky when I sent it to everybody with the heart around it. What a revealing! But and I was thinking about the attic that the cross we bear, from. You know, just being totally, I totally didn't believe, and I was born again when I came into AA, and the transformation and the cross that I was carrying was so heavy, in the beginning, but the transformation was happening, and God was revealing himself to me more and more, and there's a reason for everything in my life today, because of that cross, and, you know, Father was talking about the seven deadly sins. And, but there's that, you know, I put words to them today, and, where I didn't for, I was just living them, but there's virtues behind it and there's grace behind it, like Father said. And And the more we recognize them and we do something about them, the more grace I receive. And like I always say, more I'll be revealed. And as I'm going through them, I recognize my Catholic religion. And Father, we were talking about the suffering. And Father, I was thinking about the martyrs, you know. But when we believe, I believe we can go through anything. Anything as long as you believe. And that there's reason for it, but maybe we might not know them right now. But when you believe, I believe we can go through anything. Yeah. And, you know, more will be revealed. I was thinking too much. These weren't getting me on, and I'm thinking too much, you know. But I thought about the seven deadly sins, and then I thought about the seven sacraments and with Father, with holy orders and the healing of the sick. And just the other sacraments that we go through and how we remember them. I didn't remember them when I was out there because I had something against the religion. And as a young child, we always blame God for everything. You know, if there was a God, he wouldn't have this happening. But when you come to believe it was your will and this was happening, God was always there and we didn't believe. But once you were born again and believe, the transformation starts to happen. And that cross doesn't become heavy no more. It becomes aluminum. And you can carry it, like Kathleen says. You know, don't pick up your cross, but carry it. And what a revealing. What a revealing when you compare yourself to yourself. I'm getting choked up right now. You know, it's unbelievable the transformation that happens in your life, and God reveals himself more and more, and it's all through the sacraments, and it's all through believing, and like all these vices are they have a virtue in front of them, you know, and that's what we seek, and that's what I seek. Yeah, what a revealing, man. When I compare myself to myself, and there's a reason for it. Like, I run into people, or I run into Father, and I'm talking to you right now. Like, Patrick calls me, Patrick texts me every Wednesday. And, like, I look at it, and I say, oh, my God, I get right on. There's so many things that are revealed to me because I believe. And once you believe, you realize that God is revealing, for me, I'm sorry, but I realize that God is revealing himself to me more and more, and I receive more graces, but I'm human, but I believe, and I believe in confession, and I believe examination of conscience, that makes God reveal himself to me. What I used to do 7 days a week, I start saying six, then five, then four. You know, things start happening, and you become a better person. So I compare myself to myself, I love the Catholic religion, there's so many things involved in it. There's so many saints and martyrs that the more and more I believe, the more and more grace I receive.
Amen.
What a good show. Yeah. I mean, what a good radio show today. I couldn't help but calling in for the addict who still suffers. And when he puts the stuff down and realizes that God's in his life, the revealing starts to happen. Bang, 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 bang. And you cannot go back to what you're doing. When you know there's a better way and you go back, it's selfish, because you know there's a better way.
Amen. All right, man, brother.
All right, guys. I
appreciate
talk to you later.
The call.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, Michael.
Bye.
Bye, bye now. And we got another one on the line. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. How are you?
Good. I got a cross story.
Okay.
Okay.
I was. At church, I've got a group of guys in a CCO group and a gospel reflection group on Saturdays. And one of the guys gave me this perfectly imperfect wooden cross made from wood from the Holy Land. And I started carrying it with me. And I'm looking at it, and it's perfectly imperfect. It's got blemishes, and just as we all have our own blemishes. And he started talking in a way to me, like in my mind, I said, you know, I would love to have it a little smaller. So I decided to make one. And now I've been running off rounds of them. And I don't know, it just feels right. I'm giving them away, first in my CCO group, and then I'm going to give them to my gospel reflection group and some friends and family. But I said, perfectly imperfect crosses for God's perfectly imperfect people. No two crosses are alike. Each one is handcrafted, sanded, and finished in boiled linseed oil. Made from red oak, these personal crosses are yours to carry and clutch throughout your day. And then Luke 9:23, then Jesus said to them, if anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their crosses daily and follow me. And it just, I don't know, just started doing it. Just started doing it this past week. And then I'm listening to you guys on the radio. I'm like, I got to call in.
There you go. Honor God. Always, God's timing is always perfect, isn't it, Ryan?
And it really is.
You know, and the things that God leads us to do that we never would have dreamed of. If I had mentioned to you a year ago that you're going to start carving or making crosses and handing them out, you'd be, what? What are you talking about? Not me. And yet... And here you are doing it, and who knows how many lives will be impacted by the works that you're doing, right, Father?
Yeah. I was thinking, Ryan, the cross that you had from the Holy Land, the olive wood, was that like a palm cross? You kind of curved a little bit, and you hold it in the palm of your hand?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. We used to give them out here all the time, too. It's like very comfortable. You just fit right there in your hand, you know. It's like holding the hand of the Lord. But now you're making
exactly.
Your own, so I hope we can get one of those.
Oh, I'll definitely have one, a couple for you. I started making these are small enough to fit in like the fifth pocket of your jeans. I work in construction. I'm an electrician, so throughout my day, my pockets start getting heavy, so I needed something a little smaller. It was easier to carry, and I just started rounding them off. And
yeah, that's awesome. Which gospel reflection group? What parish?
St. Joe's in Aston, so I'd meet the pool house over Bob's.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've met before.
Yeah, I don't know if we've met. I know Patrick on the other side of the glass here runs down to Bob's once in a while.
Yeah.
So, as you continue to roll them out, you have to get a couple to Patrick to get to us if we don't see you directly.
Yeah.
Will do.
All right, pal.
Yeah, I remember you, Ryan. At the reflection group. I go there every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to breakfast, I think, one day.
Exactly. I remember,
yeah.
So world's getting
great talking with you.
Yeah, you too. The world's getting smaller and smaller every day, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure is.
Yeah. All right, Brian. Thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
I was thinking, Ken, even like I wanted to respond to Michael, there's so much there in the cross.
Yeah.
But it was a poem I was thinking about when Ryan was talking. A priest, his father gave him a crucifix and said, whenever you're trouble, attempt, or anything, put your hand and touch the cross, and you'll feel that power of the cross. And I was thinking when Ryan was talking that it's, you know, he has that in his pocket. Anytime there's difficulties, put your hand in the pocket and touch that cross. Receive that power. But it reminded me of a poem, Hang It on the Cross.
Mm.
If you have a secret sorrow, a burden, or a loss, an aching need for healing, hang it on the cross. If worry steals your sleep and makes you turn and toss, if your heart is feeling heavy, hang it on the cross. Every obstacle to faith or doubt you come across, every prayer unanswered, hang it on the cross. For Christ has borne our brokenness, and he dearly paid the cost to turn our trials to triumph, hanging on the cross. Again, the power of the cross.
Amen.
If I can just bounce back to what Michael said, you know, about the grace, and you know, behind every cross is a grace. It's something like the little flower said. It's all grace. You know, apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. It's all grace. Even for me to embrace my cross when they come, it's a grace right there. But when I embrace it, there's a height of grace, an advancement of grace. You know, it's that purgative, it's illuminative. I was saying earlier, it's unitive. It really unites us to the crucified one, and there is no more cross. And there it is, like when we say we're I'm only human, sometimes it's like, it's okay to sin. It's never okay to sin. Sin is always evil. There's no such thing as a little sin. And because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, sin is now optional. And so is grace optional. I now have a choice. I can choose life or death. I can choose darkness or light. I can choose sin or grace. I can choose Satan or God. But it's my choice now that the Lord has won for me a cross, and the grace is there, and all I have to do, receive the grace and pick up that cross and follow Jesus, as Ryan said. Deny myself. Pick up the cross. Follow Jesus. He's taken us somewhere.
Amen. And we got another caller on the line. Hello, Butch.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right. How are you?
Just listening in today. So I was heard about the crucifix, the cross, and all, and you know, I got the cross on my neck, and I got the little wooden cross that Father Doug gave me. I keep it in my car constantly, and hearing Puppet Michaels speaking, oh man, thank God I'm alive, and it's only by God's grace. And I also heard him saying sometimes I just forget, I get tied up in life and all, and you know, Father Doug tells me, and even Patrick all the time, and you can, you know, it's got to come first, got to come first. And, you know, sometimes I fall short of that, you know, but when I plug in and I go to God and I keep him first and foremost, things go so smooth. I don't know how to explain it. And then when I slip a little or don't or whatever, you know, it's when the chaos comes in. You know, it's like I lose a little faith day to day here, you know, little spats and all. And, you know, I got to stay grateful. Thank God for the home and my family and the good people around me and my friends and all, you know. A while back, I didn't have none of that, you know. And I know it's only through God. He got me through so many storms and hurdles and mistakes and all that, you know. It wasn't no human power or nothing. I don't know. I'm just having a good day today. I clicked in at 4 o'clock, and then I always give Pat a shout out. He's always on top of me. Like Mike said, he texts me. I think he forgot me today, Patrick. But I got on, and I didn't have the number, and I was Googling AM 800, and I couldn't find the number. So then, thank God, Pat had sent it to me. So I just wanted to call in, and prayers are what you can, Father Doug, all you guys all the time. And, you know, it's God's grace that keeps me, I don't know, it keeps me leveled out, you know, peaceful most of the time. I'm not going to say all the time. And my gratitude, you know, I owe to him. You know, I don't know where I'd be today without God. And them crosses, I do not take the cross off my neck. And I ain't moved that cross where I have it in my car since Father Doug got it. It's in the same spot, stays right there. So it's just good talking to you guys and calling in and all.
You too, brother. We appreciate the call.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how to got an experience. And you know I'm Italian, so it's not coming to me right now. It'll come maybe an hour later after I hang up. But I always have them. You know, there's always something that pops up, and it's God. You know, I'm just right now I'm blank.
Yeah, no problem, Butch. Appreciate the call, and always good to hear from you. So
you too, Kenny. I'll see you guys in the morning. 8:30.
No, not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. A few of us are headed out. Ryan, who called before you, mentioned the Gospel Reflection Group, and Father Patrick and I are headed out to Elizabethtown. They're having a retreat out there tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So we'll catch up with you next week sometime.
Yeah, Monday or Thursday.
All right, brother.
Yeah.
All right. I love you guys.
Yeah, you too, Butch.
Thanks for keeping it going on the radio.
You got it. Go ahead, Father.
All righty.
Hold on,
yeah, Butch. I missed tomorrow night, too. But anyway, I just wanted to affirm, you know, you had a junior moment, you know. I get them all the time. I was ready to say something that you said, and I forgot. So they're part-timers, I guess, in junior moments. It's all the effects of original sin. It's why the Lord came to give us that power and that grace to clarify our minds and give us clarity. And, you know, the big thing is to really to experience Him and to see Him. Forget the rest. Salvation is the only thing that's really necessary, the greater portion of being united to Him. But thanks for sharing, Butch. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's always cool calling in and listening to you guys, you know.
Amen.
So...
All right, pal.
Are you doing the mass tomorrow, Father Doug?
No.
No, we'll be in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Okay, I thought Kenny said, okay. Yeah. Well, you guys enjoy and have a safe trip up there.
Yeah.
All right, brother. We'll catch up with you soon.
I thought Patrick was going to let you know.
Well, he did.
Yeah, he
would have.
He called me later.
Thursday.
Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah. All right, brother. Be good.
All right, guys.
All right,
bud. Hold on to that cross.
All right, we got about 2 minutes left, Father.
Oh, wow. There's so much to say about the cross, Ken. But I guess if I can just, you know, maybe one of the big things we're saying, it's all personal, you know. It's INRI, a little boy there, you know. I was at a mass, and somebody was holding the crucifix, and there was a grandmother there, and said she asked her grandson, what the initials on top of the cross meant, INRI. And the little boy said, it means I'll never regret it, that he will never regret what he did for us. You know, you know we have to be so special to the Father. You know, you heard me say this before, Ken. What father would send his son to die for a pack of animals? No father would. But a father would send his son to die for his other children. And that's exactly who we are, eternal children of the Father. I don't even know if it sinks into us, if we really know who we are. We come from the Father. We're going to the Father. We belong to the Father. And it's the cross that brings us here. The cross is a crossover from this world to the kingdom of God, to the Father. I guess I don't have time for a story, right, Ken?
We're just about up against it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway... the cross is personal, Ken, and I was just thinking about your mom, too, in my homily, that at the end, I really believe what we're going to see is Jesus hanging in our body, and those last seven words saying, in a personal way for us, Father, forgive Douglas. He didn't know what he was doing. I thirst for Douglas. Douglas, this day you will be with me in heaven. Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. You know, I thirst, you know. It's finished. It's a victory shout. We got Dougie, Mom. Home. And I think we're all going to see that, and that's purgatory to me. And it'll be illuminative, and it'll be transformative, and it'll be just unitive with our God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father in heaven, praise and thank you for loving the world so much that you gave us your only begotten Son, that all who believe in Him will never die, but have eternal life. Bless all of our listeners, our mission work here with those who suffer with addiction and the whole world with your peace. And keep us close to your Son by the power of your Spirit through Our Lady of Sorrows and St. Joseph, Venerable Matt Talbot, and all the angels and saints. And the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless everyone. Thanks, Ken.
All right. Thank you, Father. For our listeners, Father Slomier's already on the line, so when we come back, we'll be talking about his book, Icon of Trust, Mary and the Gospels of Luke and John. Don't go away. We'll be right back.